Moncrief on News Talk.
In the so-called culture wars that swept out from the US to Europe, there was one issue that always seems to be a lightning rod, that of trans rights. It is, according to one side, a crazed ideology that aims to destroy young minds. And whatever your view on the issue, in that kind of an antagonistic atmosphere, consider what it must be like and how bad it's become if you have a trans person in your family. Karen Sugru, who's co-chair of Mammies for Trans Rights, has been writing about this in today's Examiner. Afternoon, Karen.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me on.
Have you noticed the atmosphere has got worse in the last few years?
Oh, I would say it's getting worse almost by the week at the moment. Myself and Claire Flynn, the co-chair of Mammies for Trans Rights, came together a couple of years ago when Brianna Gay was killed in the UK, was murdered. And we thought, my God, our kids are in real danger. And since then, as bad as that was, it has got worse.
Yeah, worse. And worse in what sense? Is it, I suppose, you're on social media, you must get dogs abuse on social media.
We do. We get enormous abuse. But one of the reasons that we decided to put together Mammies for Trans Rights was we had the idea that, well, if we're getting the abuse, hopefully we're standing in front of other people who might get less. And so that feels absolutely worth it. Also, we're all grown women and men and allies and moms and dads, and we're much better placed to take it than some of the younger people. So we kind of feel that that's probably a positive thing for us.
Dear, I'm putting this in the plural because of the many parents that you know who have trans kids. Is your child aware of this degree of hostility?
I think they are. I think really what we experience ourselves and what our kids would talk about is among their friend groups in their schools, there is absolute acceptance. I mean, I can't say enough about schools and teachers across Ireland who are just very quietly supporting all the kids in their classes. And it's no big deal. And it's a joy to interact. And that's what we're hearing back from on the ground. So the kind of the anger, the fear we would feel is coming from a much older cohort. And, you know, we would be very clear that it's something that is being whipped up. It's something that is being used as a wedge issue by bad faith political actors to get their political points across, but also by advertising. You know, advertising use rage bait now, and advertisers are heavily into selling things via outrage. So we're in a political climate at the moment that unfortunately is using our children and the trans community to sell things, ideas, products. And one of the things that we're really aware of is these times that we live in, everybody is frightened. Everybody is uncertain. Everybody is overwhelmed. And in times, I'm a psychotherapist in my day job, and in times of overwhelm and fear, then people are easier to manipulate. And, you know, that is used against us. So we're kind of, unfortunately, we're at just a tipping point whereby we feel our children are in grave danger, as are the trans community. And it's one of the reasons that we tried to talk about this as much as we can, because the trans community is less than 1% of the population. So they are a very, very small, very, very vulnerable group. Certainly not the cause of any of the things that people are frightened about right now, but they are an easy scapegoat. And that scapegoating puts our kids at risk. So we would talk a lot about being frightened every day.
That kind of febrile atmosphere, though, that's been generated, I assume that has a knock-on politically, in that a lot of politicians, or particularly those in power, might be a bit more reluctant to meet with you, or, you know, that, because there still are issues about treatment for trans people. There seems to be a significant paucity of that. Have you found that?
Well, I will say that I will say two things. First of all, there's a cohort of politicians out there who are really, really clear about their position on trans rights and really supportive. And there are two mammies of trans kids in the Oireachtas and in the Dáil, which is great support for us. But strategically, what we are seeing is that every time a politician or a group or an individual or a mom or a dad or an ally speaks out, or a trans person themselves speaks out, they get overwhelming abuse. And not just online. And I think this is really clear. People contact their work. People contact their family's work. They get threats. Their families get threats. And we're seeing this, and it's, you know, it's a terrible thing that happened to Simon Harris over the weekend. But in a way, it's leading. He's now leading this conversation, because this is a space we've inhabited now for several years. Our families get threatened. Our workplaces get contacted. Our jobs get threatened. And this is a strategic thing designed to make it very difficult for people to talk out. And of course, that has a knock-on impact on politicians. They are trying to do so many things that they definitely think to themselves, this week, am I able to put up with the amount of abuse that I will get? And the more socially vulnerable a person is, the more abuse they will get. And that's the reality.
Yeah. So, but while that's going on, would it be the case that a lot of trans people aren't getting the healthcare they need?
Oh, there is no healthcare at the moment in Ireland for trans people, and we need to be really clear about this. There is no referrals whatsoever happening for anybody under 18. The waiting list for the gender care is somewhere between 4 to 14 years. So it's absolutely not happening. There is no care in Ireland. But we are in even a more difficult situation in that there is inequality of care. So if you look at access to hormone replacements therapies, there are one cohort in Ireland who can walk in off the street and get hormone replacements all day, every day. As a menopausal woman, I am one of those. But a trans person cannot. Now, this is deeply unfair. But I think that we've been here before as a country. We've been in a place whereby we've had a national discussion about the right to access healthcare in privacy and dignity with your doctor, and that all healthcare should be equal. We had a really robust conversation in 2018. I'm sure everyone listening will remember that. And really, it is about bodily autonomy and equality. Do we have the right to make decisions about our bodies? And yes, of course, I would believe that we do. And then we should be able to go to our local doctors and have that conversation and access healthcare. And that's really the conversation that needs to be had from here on out.
That level of support, does it depend on the GP you go to?
It is entirely dependent on the GP, on their level of knowledge. And the thing is, and I don't blame any individual GP, because they are not getting the support from the top down. And we know from years of talking about the culture, it has to come from the top down. Information, training, support has to come. And we saw that again. We saw that with abortion services. It has to come from the top down. And when it does, GPs are so eager to support everybody. But we know in Ireland, there simply aren't enough GPs to start with. So they are just not in a position to be able to support everybody. So, you know, once again, we're in a position where we need to have this kind of systemic change. And it's unfortunately, it is one of these very significant wage issues that has been used to further other agendas. And our kids and our communities are getting caught in the crossfires.
Yeah. Also, as well, I assume you're contacted by parents whose kids have just announced that they're trans, and you're helping them to navigate through that. Is it, you know, if you're a parent, is it inevitable you'll make mistakes, you'll get the pronouns wrong and all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. And look, we first thing when people contact us, we say go to Tenny, because Tenny are superb. But when we're talking to parents, and again, you know, kind of in my day job as psychotherapist, I would say, and this applies to whatever you are facing with your kids, and it's whether it's gender, it's sexuality, it's neurodiversity, you know, it's bullying at school, whatever, you're going to get things wrong. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to wish you did things differently or better. But we always say it's okay to get it wrong. Be awkward, be wrong, apologise, ask them, come back, keep the discussion open. Even all of us who are working in this area for a long time, we get things wrong all the time. And I think that people in general are so frightened of getting things wrong that they kind of avoid it completely. And that's so isolating and so frightening for parents, but also for kids. And so we would really say, don't worry about getting things wrong. Getting things wrong is no problem. Getting things wrong and saying, geez, I'm really sorry. What would you prefer? Or I think I got that wrong, did I? How would you prefer I said that? Those things are actually a wonderful doorway to a really great conversation. And I've been working with young people for the last 23 years. And this is what I have found. I get things wrong all the time. But when I come back to them and I say, listen, I think I made a mistake there, that will open the door for them. And then more often than not, that mistake will open the door to a really lovely connection and a conversation, and that person will then feel safer going forward. So never, ever be afraid to be wrong, ever. It's a gift.
And obviously, as we've been talking about already, some people have a quite extreme approach in their opposition to trans rights. No doubt, though, there are people listening to us, Karen, who are a bit on the fence about it, or think it's all sounds a bit strange, or, you know, what would you say to those people?
Look, I understand, and we all understand, because this is new. And I suppose I grew up in Ireland in the 70s and 80s, and so I really remember when these kinds of things were said about gay men and lesbian women and the queer community back at that time. And the exact same words, language, fear, uncertainty that was used then is now being used about trans people. And it's because the trans community is coming out, and this is a new thing. So we are all learning this new language all at the same time. And I would just say to everybody who's listening, it's okay. We don't all have to do everything. We don't all have to agree with everything. We can all say to ourselves, does this impact me? And if it doesn't, then it is absolutely okay to think, God, I don't know much about that. I'm just going to leave them, get on with their lives. And that is okay. And I think that one of the things that we try to do, when we're talking to media and we're writing about this, is we try to take the heat out of the conversation. Because as you said, there is a lot of people who want us to engage in this very, very heated, very kind of aggressive discourse. And as moms and parents and allies, we're really saying, listen, you know, the vast majority of parenting with trans kids, I can tell you, is simply, you know, will they pick up after themselves? Will they, you know, why is the room filled with glasses? You know, will they wear a jacket on a cold day? So parenting of a trans kid is the same as parenting any kids that you have. And parenting, and that's where we really want to kind of reach out to other parents, because the experience of parenting any kid is just the same, regardless of what issues they're bringing to the fore and what you're working with. It's about you create a safe place in your house for your kid to come back to. And they know that in this house, in this space, they are loved and accepted. And you will help them figure everything out. You will get them the information, but they come here and they know they're loved, and everything else will work out.
Karen, thanks very much for speaking with us today.
My pleasure.
Karen Sugru is co-chair of Mammies for Trans Rights. A few comments on the conversation we were having. Now, we did get a few really nasty comments in, so I'm not going to read them out, but I'm going to acknowledge that there were nasty comments in. One texter says, it seems that the main trans right that gets people upset is access to female toilets and other spaces, not just for those who are fully transitioned, but for those who identify as female without having undergone any treatment. The solution is just more gender-neutral spaces. Well, yes, perhaps, but I think the people who get very exercised about that wouldn't satisfy them, because Karen referred to it herself, the insinuation is always that they're just, you know, they're not really trans women, they're rapists in dresses, and that's the only reason they go into female toilets. The thing I've never really understood about the anti-trans thing is that it's literally none of your business and makes no difference to you if you're not trans. It's really a matter for the individuals involved and nobody else. Another texter says, I think it would be a great change in the modern world if we all took a new approach to our lives, both online and off. Let's assume we don't know, rather than we do know. Approach things with humility. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it just? There another texter says, if people want hormones, they should pay full price for them. Wanting to take hormones is a choice. Not taking hormones does no harm. I'm not talking about menopause patients. Well, let's include menopause patients. Women who are menopausal could choose to not take HRT. Of course they could, and their life would be miserable. And I think if Karen was still on the line, Karen would say a similar thing about her child. And most parents of trans kids would say the same thing, that it's not really that much of a choice.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.